It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Wonderful to be with you today. Here from Bible Home Church, we're going to continue our series, The Called, The Chosen, The Faithful, and it is exciting. Are you a member of the Synagogue of Satan? It's described in Revelation, and I'll tell you, it's a frightening thing to be a member of that group. Or are you a member of the true church, the true Israel, the Israel of God? Are you one of God's called, chosen, and faithful? We're going to be discussing that today, continuing our series. But first, we have some beautiful music here at Bible Home Church, and if you'd like to write us, give us your prayer needs, make a comment on us, and let us know you're praying for us. We'd appreciate that so much. I always need prayer help and encouragement, and it sure does my soul good to know that my friends are out there and they really care. And I love it especially when they comment on a series of sermons that we do here. And I like to know that folks are listening and it touches their heart and it changes lives. Can I hear from you? I'd love to. And at the same time, when you write us, maybe you'd like to have us pray for something. Would you let us know? It'll be our privilege. We're just honored to pray for you. It's not a burden. It's not some onerous task. Oh, no, we've got another prayer request here. We've got to spend all of our time. And no. It's exciting. It's glorious to pray for you. You have to understand. You see, I believe prayer actually changes things. It changes things. And I know when I'm praying, God is already beginning to change things. And God listens to my prayers. Am I boastful? I sure am boastful. And I can prove that He'll answer my prayer and He'll answer your prayer. Because the prayers of a righteous person, God just plain answers. And whatever you ask for, He will give you. But now you've got to ask for something that's not what He calls a miss. Oh, you can miss the mark. I've heard for men who pray wanting other men's wives. Well, I don't think God's going to give you that. Or some young person, you know, young lady, and she's praying for some man who's into drugs and into all kind of stuff, and he's a juvenile delinquent, and he's quit school, and she's still got a crush on him, and she says, oh, God, please make him want me as much as I want him. Well, you know, there are such things as unanswered prayer. Sometimes God knows what to give you. Maybe that's not good. You ask for a fish, would God give you a serpent? No. So, again, God knows even before you pray what you're going to pray for. And if it's in His will for your life, so you pray that it be in His will and that God will give you the mind of Christ so you will understand His will and you'll get in line with Him and you'll walk down that narrow road hand in hand with Jesus Christ. And then your prayers become easier and easier, more fun, more exciting, more thrilling as you walk together with God all the way to the very end of your life. And then you go over and step over into eternity with Christ. And then you'll be there forevermore with Him. Now, I'm telling you, my friends, this is the future. This is the destiny of a Christian. It's amazing. If you're called, you're chosen, you're faithful. That's what we're talking about today. Last week we talked about it, and for the next several weeks. Okay, you can write to us. If possible, if God calls on you, send us a love gift to help us keep on the radio. We do need your help. Hey, we have the Cathedrals here for you with some beautiful music. God-inspired music, I believe. You know, as you're going to find out in listening to this series, God holds tomorrow in his hand. And you're part of that tomorrow. So listen closely as the cathedral sing about knowing who holds tomorrow.
That's
Genesis 12, chapter 1. We read, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham." So we know right away, this isn't a normal conversation. It's God speaking to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 5 says, remember now, the Lord says to Abraham, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." All families, that means all tribes, all races, are to be blessed. Just the Jews? Of course not. In fact, Abraham was not even a Jew. He was a Babylonian. He's the father of the Jews, yes. Father of Israel, that is. Jesus distinguished that little important matter. "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Then we go on to read in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now, friends, many people say that the reason the nation of Israel, the one that sits there in the Middle East today, only since 1948 now, that that nation belongs, to that nation belongs all the land, greater Israel. All the land they've got and much more, including, of course, the city of Jerusalem. Why does it belong to them? Because Abraham was told, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now, to find out who owns the land, all the land that Abraham could see from high up, on the place. He lifted up his eyes and he saw that, and God said, "I'm going to give you this and to your seed forever." So we know then that the land belongs to whoever is Abraham's seed. Now, I want you to remember this. All the time you and I are talking, speaking together, sharing together, understanding together, will you agree with me, my friend, that the land belongs to the seed of Abraham forever? Now, if you're a person who listens to one of these televangelists and you never read the Bible for yourself, you won't understand what I'm talking about, because I'm going to give you so many Bible verses, your head will swell. I hope your heart does too. I hope it gets a lot bigger in understanding. But right now, would you agree to me with me, regardless of your political bearings or your religious denomination or whatever, will you agree to me that the Bible says it's to Abraham's seed forever that the land was given? Now, you remember that fact, but we haven't yet found out who is Abraham's seed. Now, I know you've been told, well, it's the nation of Israel today. It's the Jews today. But that may be a fabrication out of somebody's head. You say, no, it's not a fabrication text. I can prove it in the Bible. Okay, good. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Bible. But I just want you to agree with me, because this is so vitally important. The seed of Abraham have been given that land forever. No one can take away the land. Now, who are the seed? We learn in Genesis 13, 16, it says, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." That's how many of them there will be. There are going to be many, apparently, in terms of people. Genesis 15 says, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Oh, as many as the stars that are in heaven. That's how many seed he will have, how many people will be spiritual descendants of Abraham, I believe is what it means. Now, Why did God so favor Abraham? I know he came out of Ur in the Chaldees, it's told to us. He obviously was a good man. Maybe he was a kind man. Maybe he was a very wise man. But let me give you the exact reason that God gives. Genesis 15, verse 6, "And he," that is Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he," that is God, "counted it to him for righteousness." Why did God so favor Abraham? Why did he say, "I'll bless you, I'll make your name great"? Why did he say, "Your seed will be given this land forever"? It's because Abraham believed in the Lord. He was a believer. He had faith in God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Now, we don't know everything about Abraham, but I'm sure he was not a perfect man. There were no perfect men in those days. There are none today. Praise the Lord. God will make you righteous even though you had imperfections. You see, God wants a church without spot or wrinkle. And that's the only kind of church that's going to heaven. That will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. A church without spot or wrinkle. Do you have spots and wrinkles, friend? I don't. You say, "Oh boy, Texas just said he's perfect." I didn't say that. Now, if you know Jesus Christ, you don't either. Let me tell you why. Because your sins are covered up by the blood. And you believe in the Lord, and he counts it for righteousness. You don't deserve anything, but he says, "I'm going to give it to you anyway." Can you believe that? Remember the story of the prodigal son? He squandered all of his inheritance. But he still had one thing. When he got rid of all of his inheritance, knew what a horrible thing he had done, he repented and he came back to the Father and said, "Lord, take me back, please. I'm willing to serve you in any capacity. Just make me a servant, not a son." But the Father took him in his arms and said, "No, you are a son." My friends, listen to me. It doesn't matter what your sins. It doesn't matter the bad things you've done. I'm not apologizing for those. I'm not trying to apologize for what I've done. But I'm here to tell you that the blood will cover a multitude of sins. And Abraham believed. He wasn't a perfect man, but he believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you want God to bless you? Do you want him to make your name great? Do you want to be part of the promise? Then believe in Jesus Christ. And suddenly, it's counted to you for righteousness. Faith brings righteousness. Righteousness does not bring faith. Make sure you get the horse before the cart. Now, listen more what God told Abraham. "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." That's in Genesis 17, verses 2 and 4. Now, I read that very carefully. Remember I told you I would explain about the seed? Remember I told you I would explain about who gets the land forever? Well, here Abraham is given a covenant, an everlasting covenant. "And he shall be a father of many nations." Of Israel? No. The nation of Israel where the Jews are? No. Many nations. Now this is the thing we're beginning to already confound and confuse the Pat Robertsons, the Jerry Falwells, and the Billy Grahams. "Oh, I thought Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel and the Jews." Well, you just don't know the Bible. It says he's a father of many nations. In fact, his very name was changed by God for that reason. Listen to this one. "Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Oh. You thought that Abraham came out of Chaldee. It was a Chaldean, was a Babylonian, but God made the nation of Israel out of him, and that the Jews and Israel, therefore, have Abraham as their father, and only they have the promise. Only they are the seed. Is that what you were taught, my friend? Well, get your head out of some TV screen listening to a televangelist and get your mind and your heart and your soul in gear and go to the Bible where you read here. Abraham, his very name means he's the father of many nations. Listen to this next verse. And I will establish my covenant between me, thee, and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God has a covenant, an everlasting covenant with the seed of Abraham. And they're obviously of many nations. Genesis 17 verse 8 says, And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Whoever is Abraham's seed, we have God as our father. And we have been given the seed of Abraham, whoever we are, or whoever they are, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. To Abraham and his seed was the promise given. They are the heirs of God, possessors of the land, and of the everlasting covenant. Would you agree with me, my friend? Now all we need to know is who are the seed. There are many nations, not just a little bitty nation of Israel. But who are these people out of many nations? As many as the dust of the earth, many as the stars of the skies, who have Abraham as their earthly father, who have an everlasting covenant with God, who are indeed the true Israel. Who are they? I mean the universal Israel, Israel that encircles this globe out of many nations, many races, because it says many families. This may shock you to find out some facts here, my friends. If you've been listening to these televangelists and you've been reading the junk of such men as Dobson and Falwell and Robertson and the others, all the strange people you see on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you go to your typical Southern Baptist church or Pentecostal church or charismatic church, and you get the same malarkey. Or you read the books of Hal Lindsey and all the other prophecy teachers. They're just weird. They don't even go along with the Bible. Who are God's chosen? You know, they're the ones who have God as their father. They have an everlasting covenant with the Lord. And God has chosen them. And they are his seed. Who are they? Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John might have to say about this weighty issue. Not the Apostle Pat Robertson or the Apostle Oral Roberts. Let's see what the apostles that gave us our Bible through the Holy Spirit had to say. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 says, God hath chosen the foolish, the weak, despised things. That's who he's chosen. Is he talking there about the Jews? Uh-uh. No. He was talking about Christians. Christians. John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus himself told his disciples, and we who are his disciples today, the words still apply. He said, I have chosen you out of the world. Now, friends, if you want to go along with the Robertsons and the Lindsays and the Dobsons and the Falwells and the Grahams and say, no, I'm not God's chosen, that's okay. Then go on to hell. But if you will agree with Jesus, who said, I have chosen you out of the world, then you have an everlasting covenant with God. And listen to Peter. He was talking to the church, my friends. He was talking to the Christian church. And listen what he said. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Does that describe you, my friends? I pray so.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.